Hi, everyone, and welcome to English Digest. I'm Pat.
And I'm Tom, and today we're talking about animals, living creatures, and we're talking about one in the ocean that you might be familiar with, maybe a shark, a starfish, maybe an anglerfish or something. But no, we're going to talk about the really big fish in the ocean. We're going to talk about whales.
Yeah, we're not just going to talk about whales. We're going to find out exactly why they are such big creatures. The blue whale is the biggest animal ever to live. They're, you know, bigger than dinosaurs. They're bigger than anything ever.
Wow.
Blue whales are tremendously big creatures. But why? What is the reason why these mammals, they're not fish, remember, they're mammals, how do they grow so big? What's the reason for it? So we're going to start looking not so much at whales and what they do, but why they are such large creatures and why that's important for how they live. So let's read through the article and find out why are whales so big? Whales were not always the majestic creatures of the ocean that they are today. In fact, 50 million years ago, they were hoofed land dwellers. Their evolution to become the animals we're familiar with took millions of years. During this time, they developed fins to suit their new marine environments and began filter feeding, an ability which allows them to consume large amounts of drifting prey at once. Apart from these features, one of the greatest changes that took place over the millennia was an increase in the animal's size. Today, whales are some of the biggest species in the world. How did these gentle giants become so large, though? Researchers believe one of the causes is environmental. About 4.5 million years ago, ice sheets covered much of the northern hemisphere. When ice from the glaciers melted, nutrients, such as iron, would have been carried into the oceans. Other nourishing organic material would have been readily available in seasonal upwelling cycles, a phenomenon in which cold water from the depths of the sea rises, replacing nutrient-depleted water at the ocean's surface. Combined, these ecological factors would have had a great effect on the aquatic food web and would have helped whale species bulk up. Another influence on the animal's enlarged size is its migration patterns. As seasons change, the best locations for whales' food sources change too. And these huge creatures swim thousands of miles as they search for prime places to feed. Ancient whales that were larger would have had more energy for these journeys, while smaller whales that couldn't complete long seasonal migrations would have become extinct. Were it not for these factors, the whales that fill us with wonder today might look very different.
Now, this is a question I remember asking myself frequently when I was younger. Yeah, why are whales so big? I mean, they could be a little bit smaller, you know, perhaps maybe they could swim a little bit faster or something like that. Or we're not supposed to have really big animals anymore because that's the dinosaurs and they all died out, so animals shouldn't be that big. But hey, whales continue to be really large animals, so we need to ask this question, why are whales so big? Why are they so large? What's the point? What's the reason? Well, we'll try to answer that question in today's program. Now, here's the first paragraph. It says, whales were not always the majestic creatures of the ocean that they are today. Now, in this sentence, we're describing whales as being majestic, which does kind of mean big, but it means they're quite impressive. They have some impressive beauty. They have a lot of dignity. So, yes, they are majestic creatures. They're big. They're impressive. And boy, do we respect them.
Yeah, but they weren't always these ocean dwellers. In fact, 50 million years ago, they were hoofed land dwellers. Now, hoofed is an adjective that just describes an animal with a hoof or hooves, like horses and deer and other animals like that. So they had legs, whales with legs, and they had these hard ends called hoofs, which are just these kind of bony sort of masses that they walk on to keep the rest of their feet protected. And they dwelt on land. They weren't water-dwelling animals.
What I was told is that whales started out in the ocean, then later they went on the land, and then they went back into the ocean again, of course, over millions of years of evolution. So yes, indeed, 50 million years ago, they were hoofed animals, and they dwelled on the land. They lived on the land, and their evolution to become the animals we're familiar with took millions of years. Evolution, of course, is the theory or scientific idea that animals or living things progress from the lower stages and change gradually with time to adapt to different environmental factors.
Yeah, they become more suited to the place they live, basically. And in that time, they've become the animals we're familiar with. If you're familiar with something, you know what it is when you see it. You recognize it. Your brain tells you, aha, you know, that is a whale. Or if you see an animal with a long neck, you're familiar with that. Aha, it's a giraffe. So it's something we know and we recognize. And this took a long time. And we see that during this time, when they were changing from hoofed land dwellers to the whales we know, they developed fins, okay, to suit their new marine environments. Fins are kind of like those flat, long arm things that fish have that they move back and forward to push them along through the water and swim. They can be on the side of the body, and you've got the big one at the back to provide more power and direction. And of course, you need fins to suit a marine or sea or ocean environment, because instead of arms and legs, that's not going to get you too far through the big oceans. You need fins because that's the most efficient way of moving through the sea.
That's right. And they needed those fins to work or to swim around their marine environment. Marine is a word that we use to describe anything that has to do with the ocean. The word mar, M-I-R, in Latin means the sea, the ocean. So marine means having to do with the ocean. And they began something called filter feeding, which is an ability which allows them to consume large amounts of drifting prey at once. So this is some way that they feed themselves. Feeding means you give someone food. If you have a pet dog, you feed the dog maybe twice a day or something like this. In this particular case, they fed themselves by using filters in their mouths or something, and they could eat large amounts of drifting prey, which probably means plankton, which are these very small life forms that just drift in the water. They're too small to swim themselves, so they can't really get away. So it's easy for the whales to get them, but because they're so small, they need to eat thousands or millions of them at one time using this filter feeding. I guess they send a lot of water through their mouths or something, and then the food remains behind.
Yeah, their mouths will be open, they'll swallow a huge amount, but because of this filter, this kind of thing blocking their throat, only the tiny bits will go in. All the other fish will then get breathed out again, sort of thing. So they can't eat large creatures, you know, they can't eat other big fish, they just wouldn't go into the whale's stomach. So the prey, which is something that another animal eats, that's what we call prey, can only be these tiny things, like you mentioned, plankton, these small little life forms that float around in the water. So that was one thing that they developed over the years. And apart from these features, one of the greatest changes that took place over the millennia was an increase in the animal size. Now, a millennium, the singular is I-U-M ending, is a period of 1,000 years. So millennia is multiple periods of 1,000 years, that kind of thing. So we're now, when we change from 1999 to 2000, we entered the third millennium AD, or common era.
Okay, so I guess basically it means over thousands of years or over millions of years. And the greatest change, of course, was having to do with the size of the animal. So I guess if you're talking about these older versions of whales, they weren't so big. Maybe just the size of a large cow or a deer or something.
Yeah, a moose, maybe.
A moose or something like that. So, yeah, now they're really huge. And as you said at the beginning of the program, the blue whale is the largest creature to have ever lived in the world. So, my goodness, how do these creatures get so big? That's the question we're trying to answer here today. Whales are some of the biggest species in the world. A species, of course, is a different kind of animal. Maybe they can be related, okay, within a certain family, but they cannot breed with each other. That's the difference in species.
Okay. So the question, how did these gentle giants, the whales, become so large? Now, researchers believe one of the causes, one of the reasons, is environmental. So there we're using the adjective form of environment. So we know that one reason is related to the whale's environment, where these animals lived. And we see that about 4.5 million years ago, which is still a very long time ago, though not the 50 million years we mentioned earlier, ice sheets covered much of the northern hemisphere. The northern hemisphere is half of a world, basically, half of our globe, our sphere, which is a big circle. And the northern hemisphere is anything above the equator, which is that line that goes around the middle of the Earth. And that was covered in sheets of ice. So kind of like the Arctic and the Antarctic are now, where we have these big thick sheets of ice covering the sea that things can't really get through going up or going down. They didn't just cover around the North Pole and the South Pole. These big ice sheets covered the whole almost of the Northern Hemisphere. It's just to do with the position of the Earth relative to the sun and things going on in the world at that time.
And who knows, they may have covered the Southern Hemisphere as well, but for most of the time, we don't really concern ourselves too much with the Southern Hemisphere because most of the world's landmass is in the Northern Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got Australia and New Zealand down there and parts of Africa and South America, but most of the landmass is in the Northern Hemisphere, and we'll focus on that in our program. But again, we'll begin to talk about this theory here about the Ice Age in just a second and how that affected the size of whales. We'll get to that question in just a second, but my goodness, we need to take a break right now and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们今天要探讨的主题是鲸鱼为什么这么大。在文章的一刚开始呢，提到其实在很久以前呢，鲸鱼是属于 hoofed land dwellers, 也就是有蹄的陆栖动物。后来花了很多的时间就演化成了这样子的鳍来适应他们新的海洋生活。第一个空格，我们来看这一句的后半句。他们也开始了 filter feeding。 什么叫做 filter feeding 呢？ filter feeding 指的呢就是这种滤食的功能，这样的能力让他们能够同时怎么样大量的浮游猎物。第一题 A 选项 motivate 使激发动机， B apologize 道歉， C interact 互动， D consume吃喝。那么发展出 filter feeding 滤食的功能，让他们可以呢一次就吃很多的浮游猎物，所以搭配文意，第一题的标准答案就选择 D consume。 第二个空格后面写到 These features one of the greatest changes that took place over the millennia was an increase in the animal's size。那么呢，这样子的特质，那么其中一个很大的改变呢，就是它们体型上面的增大。刚讲到了发展出鳍，那么呢，还有了滤食的功能，还有没有什么特别的呢？除了这些特质之外，体型也增加了很大。所以搭配文意，第二题我们可以选择 B 选项的 apart from, 就是有除了什么什么之外。其他选项 A instead of 取代， C thanks to 多亏于， D regardless of 不论是什么都不适合文意。接着看到第三个空格， researchers believe one of the causes is blank three.后面提到呢，为什么这样子的巨大动物会这么大呢？研究人员相信其中一个原因是怎么样的？后面有提到，大概在450万年前，那个地形的变化，所以这些从文艺里面，我们可以推敲出这一题的答案。第三题 A 选项 desirable 想要的 B respectful表示尊重的 C. aggressive 具有侵略性的 D. environmental 与环境有关。看到后面的文章，你会发现当环境改变的时候，它们的体型为了适应生存，所以呢也就越变越大。所以这一题搭配文艺，第三题的标准答案就选择 D. environmental。
We're going to take a short break now, but please stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, so welcome back. We're talking about the ice and the ice sheets covering the northern hemisphere and how this caused whales to get big. So what was going on in the environment? The article says that when ice from the glaciers melted, nutrients such as iron would have been carried into the oceans. A glacier is a slowly moving mass or river of ice, and it's when snow and ice and other stuff formsOn a mountain or near the Earth's north and south pole and then just flows like a big river of ice somewhere and often then freezes and stays in one place, which is like the glaciers we have around the world right now. Now, when these melt, nutrients like iron go from being trapped in the ice into the seas and the oceans. Nutrients are something that all living creatures need to live. Different creatures need different nutrients, but we all need something to give us the ability to survive and grow. And iron is important because it allows us to breathe oxygen. It's one of the important things in our blood. So other nutrients could be things like proteins, could be sugars, could be vitamins or vitamins. All of those are nutrients, and they would then go from the ice being trapped into the oceans.
Right, so these nourishing organic materials would have been readily available in seasonal upwelling cycles, a phenomenon in which cold water from the depths of the sea rises, replacing nutrient-depleted water at the ocean's surface.Oh, that is a very long technical sentence.
Let's
try to explain it here. Nourishing means it has lots of things that help us survive, help us live, like vitamins and minerals. As you said, they would have been readily available, immediately available in these upwelling cycles, I guess, which means things rise at certain times. If something's upwelling, it means it kind of rises slowly, like upwelling grief or something. You gradually feel more and more sad or something. And this is seasonal, which happens only during a certain part of the year.
Yeah, and it means that the water from down by the seabed would go up and it would replace the cold water, which is at the top. So the idea is down by the bottom, it's by the seabed, so it's picking up organic nutrients. Organic means it's made from carbon and hydrogen and oxygen atoms, things like that. And that's being picked up and it's being taken to the top of the ocean where more of the animals are swimming around. And this is a phenomenon, which means it's something that's kind of unusual, but it's certainly true. It's been seen and observed. It's a particular event that's happened. Earthquakes are a phenomenon. They don't happen very often. And you might believe, whoa, earth shaking, that can be real. But it is, of course. We know that. Other weather phenomenons are things like typhoons. They form and they happen every now and again as part of the way the world works. And in this case, it's this cold water coming up. And it's full of nutrients. It's full of stuff that animals need to live. And it replaces the depleted water at the top. Depleted means it doesn't have much in it. Whatever was in it has been used up. It's been taken away. In this case, nutrients. So the water at the top is not good to live on. Animals can't survive on it. But it gets replaced by this nutrient-rich water from below. It all comes up. And there we go. Every year, the same thing happens, which keeps the animals with enough to eat.
Right, so we've got all these things going on. We've got the glaciers. We've got iron going into the oceans. We've got the nutrients coming up from the bottom of the oceans to the surface. So combined, put together, these ecological factors would have had a great effect on the aquatic food web and would have helped whale species bulk up. So these are ecological factors and ecology, or ecological, the adjective form here, adjectival form. Ecology just means organisms and how they relate to each other in the environment. So all these ecological factors would have had a great influence or effect on the aquatic food web. Aquatic or aquatic, I've heard people read it that way, means having to do with the ocean and lakes and things. Basically, aqua means water. So yes, this is the food web or the food cycle, I guess.
Or food chain. What animal eats what animal. So an aquatic food web would be, you know, these nutrients move up and tiny creatures eat them, bigger fish eat them, even bigger fish eat them, and so on. And so what it means is that there were more animals, there was enough food for everyone, and so the food web is nice and rich, and there's plenty for everyone, and therefore the whales can eat more and more.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a weird form of oceanic obesity or something. These whales bulking up. To bulk up means you get bigger. Either you get fatter or maybe you get more muscular. If you lift weights, work out and stuff, you might bulk up and become quite a macho man. Well, another influence on the animal's enlarged size is its migration patterns. Enlarged just means bigger. Something might be enlarged, like photographs, you know, you take a negative and you make an enlargement, you make it bigger. And these are migration patterns, which means how the animals moved around to different parts of the world, like bird migrations, for example. Birds from Siberia often fly through Taiwan on their way south during their migrations in the winter.
Yeah, migration patterns for animals is always about changing where they are to either find food, find new grass, get away from bad weather, whether it's too hot or too cold. So these creatures often follow this cycle where they'll go to different places at the same time, mostly every year. And as we see an example of this here, as seasons change, the best locations for whales' food sources change too. So we're saying, okay, in the winter, most of the food is here, maybe around the equator where it's warmer. In summer, it's more up in the north and the south, closer to the poles. And that means these huge creatures swim thousands of miles as they search for prime places to feed. Prime means the best, basically, the best quality or the highest quality, just the most suitable thing for them. You could talk about a prime real estate, meaning, oh, that's a really good place to have a house. It's going to be worth lots of money because of what's around it, that sort of thing.
So they're looking for the most ideal places to feed, and ancient whales that were larger would have had more energy for these journeys. So yes, if you want to go thousands of miles around the world, then you got to have a lot of energy. So I guess you got to be big. And here it says, while smaller whales that couldn't complete long seasonal migrations would have become extinct. So they couldn't compete. They couldn't swim so far. They stayed where they were and they slowly died out. They became extinct like the dinosaurs.
Yeah, this is the whole evolution idea again, that the ones that are the biggest and the most suited in this case for their environment survive, and therefore their children are also big, and they just continue to get bigger because that's what they need. Whereas the ones that aren't big enough, they die off because they just don't find mates. They die before they can have children. So the traits, the characteristics of the successful animals get passed on. So the whales just keep getting bigger and bigger until we get the really giant ones we have today. So the article finishes by saying, were it not for these factors, in other words, if these factors, the environment and the evolution and the need to swim a long way and get big, if it wasn't for all of these, or if it were not for all of these, the whales that fill us with wonder today might look very different. So if the environment had been different, if their food cycles and migration had been different, we probably would have had smaller whales. But the way things have gone, they needed to be big to keep surviving.
Indeed, and they still survive today, especially the blue whale. But I understand the blue whale is endangered, so we better do things to protect those creatures. Otherwise, they'll be gone forever. But now you know why these whales are so big.Or at least these are some current scientific theories on why they are so big now, just in case you wanted to know. Okay, that brings us to the end of our explanation for today. Here comes our Chinese teacher.
接着看到第四个空格，它前面的句子提到，在这些季节性的永生流循环当中呢，就能够比较取得其他富含营养的有机物食。而这所谓的 seasonal upwelling cycles 叫做什么呢？我们在这里补充说明 ，a phenomenon blank for。Cold water from the depths of the sea rises, replacing nutrient-depleted water at the ocean's surface. 它是一种现象，怎么样的现象呢？在这个现象当中呢，海洋深处的冷水会上升，就取代了原本在表面营养已经耗尽的水。所以搭配文意，在这样的现象当中，你会有这样的情形发生。这一题是考大家的文法，第四题的标准答案就选择 C in which。接着第五个空格讲到呢鲸鱼的迁徙模式。第五个空格的句子写着 As seasons change, the best blank five for whales' food sources change too. And these huge creatures swim thousands of miles as they search for prime places to feed.这一个的空格要看后面的句子提到他们 search for prime places to feed 他们要寻找一些最佳的觅食地点所以当季节变换的时候呢鲸鱼食物来源的什么也改变了第五题 A 选项 locations 地点 B advantages 优点 C remarks 评论D, consequences, 后果。要寻找呢最佳觅食的地点当然正是因为食物的来源的地点也跟着改变了。第五题的标准答案就选择 A, locations。那么第六个空格我们直接看后半句提到 While smaller whales that couldn't complete long seasonal migrations would have become blank six。前面讲到体型大当然呢要游很远的旅程就可以支撑下去后面说到如果是体型小你没有办法完成这种季节性的迁移那这样的小体型的鲸鱼会怎么样呢游不了这么远的旅程当然就会灭绝所以第六题的标准答案就选择 B extinct灭绝的。而第七题说，要不是有这些因素的话，the whales that fill us with wonder today, blank seven, very different. 如果没有这些因素，这些今天让我们惊叹万分的鲸鱼呢，看起来很可能会十分的不同。这一题是考同学们假设语气，与现在事实相反，我们主要的句子呢，要用过去式的助动词，再搭配原形动词。所以第七题的标准答案就选择 C 选项 might look. OK, 以上就是今天的课文讲解，谢谢收听。
All right, that is the end of our article. And of course, other animals will have the same stories. Why do giraffes have long necks? Why do elephants have noses like they do? Every animal is going to have a sort of 1,000-year-long evolutionary story. So this is just one we've examined here with whales. If you're interested in this subject, go ahead and look up a few more. But that's all the time we have. Thanks for listening, everyone. For English Digest, I'm Pat.
And I'm Tom.
We'll talk to you again soon. Bye.